Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. What is stalking and harassment? How serious is it? And should we really be afraid? Why does a person become a victim of stalking, and what can they do about it? And what possesses somebody to actually be a stalker? I recently caught up with Violet Alvarez, who's the Senior Policy and Campaigns Officer with the Susie Lamplugh Trust. And she began by telling me, first of all about Susie Lamplugh.
So Susie Lamplugh was an estate agent, and back in 1986, she was working on her usual day job, and she went off to meet somebody who she had noted down in her diary as being somebody called Mr. Kipper. And many hours later, her manager realized that she hadn't come back to the office, and so he sort of raised an alarm, and her parents filed a missing persons report. Mm-hmm. And after that, basically, this case opened up because she had disappeared. And to this day, her body has not been recovered, and the case is still open.
I find that absolutely extraordinary. Now, on the 28th of July, this month, it was the 35 years since Susie Lamplugh disappeared. Would you say things regarding stalking and such like have improved in this time?
So, I mean, of course, there's been so many changes in the last 35 years. Of course, there have been. You know, we've seen really amazing achievements, specifically in stalking laws and harassment laws. So we've now got the Protection from Harassment Act that was brought in 1997. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of, you know, stuff in there that now really protects people who are victims of stalking. We've also got things like changes in the licensing of private hire vehicles in London, and also sort of policy shifts that recognise the really devastating impact of stalking in things like the Domestic Abuse Bill. And also, hopefully, in the Police, Crime, Courts and Sentencing Bill, which is sort of being pulled together at the moment. But of course, there's so much to be done still. And we know that victims of stalking are really not sort of being properly recognised through the criminal justice system. And that's something that we think really needs to change.
I think also it's down to having evidence as well, in the sense that the victim needs to give as much evidence as they can, in order to get, a conviction through the courts, because that's what juries and magistrates work on.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I would say that when we're looking at cases of stalking of victims that call us through the National Stalking Helpline, for example, though, we find that people have experienced over 100 incidents before they report the crime to the police. Mm. So actually, we're finding that people have a huge amount of evidence by the time that they make that report. So what I think is, you know, really important is that police officers and prosecutors are really trained in stalking, to the point that when somebody, you know, reports that crime to the police, they're asking the right questions. So they're saying, okay, let's look at the pattern of abuse here. What's actually happening? You know, as opposed to responding to that single incident, because that's what will really kind of make them understand the full impact on the victim.
Now, we've talked about Susie Lamplugh. Tell me about the Susie Lamplugh Trust and its objectives and the kind of work that you do.
So the Susie Lamplugh Trust was set up soon after Susie Lamplugh's disappearance. And her parents, Paul and Diana, really wanted to have an organisation that was looking at sort of two aspects that they felt was really missing in statutory support. So one of them was the stalking aspect, because they thought that Susie had been stalked before her disappearance. And so that's why we set up the National Stalking Helpline, and we do a lot of policy and sort of lobbying work around stalking victims. But also the other aspect of it was the personal safety side. So we found that really, her manager, you know, didn't report her missing for many hours, and there was no policy put in place for that. And so a huge part of the work that we do is general personal safety, for example, online harms. So we do a lot of work around, you know, cyber stalking, spyware, hacking, seeing how those things may have increased since the pandemic. And like I said, you know, we work on our longest running campaign, which is the licensing of private hire vehicles as well.
Now, we're talking about stalking in the vernacular, but what actually is stalking, Violet? How would you define it? Or how does the law define it?
So, amazingly, there is no legal definition for stalking.
Really?
It does not yet exist. We have one for harassment, but not for stalking. So, but you know, the Susie Lampley Trust would see stalking as it's a pattern of behaviour. And the behavior is unwanted, it's repetitive, you know, in terms of what the victim is experiencing. And the behavior is fixated and it's obsessive. So that's really what we're looking at, is this sort of pattern of fixation and obsession. And that's really what's really important to look at when you're trying to identify a case of stalking. So we always say, think for, F-O-U-R, fixated, obsessive, unwanted, repetitive.
Oh, I like that. That's easy to remember, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
How serious would you say stalking is in the UK? I mean, any offence is serious, but, you know, as far as the country's concerned, you know, how serious is it?
So we find that in England and Wales, for example, we've got 1.5 million individuals who say that they have been stalked. And that was in the year 2019 to 2020, the tax year. And in that same year, there were 0.1% of convictions for that number. So we're looking at about 1,500 convictions compared to 1.5 million.
I mean, that's nowhere near enough, is it?
It's really not, exactly. And that's kind of what we're really trying to push for at the moment, is to make sure that, you know, that along that entire journey, from the moment somebody reports it to the moment that it's passed to the CPS, to the moment there's criminal investigation, hopefully an actual prosecution, that people along the way are actually understanding what stalking is. Because until that happens, we're going to find it really, really difficult for it to be taken seriously.
Taking into consideration your four acronym there, what type of person becomes a stalker or is a stalker? Is it somebody that has, for example, mental health issues, or, you know, is it, could it just be anybody that we encounter on the street or in the shops, for example?
You know, we would certainly say that, like I said, stalkers are people who have a fixation and an obsession towards one particular person. And it's really important to understand, you know, they could be men, they could be women, they could be from any cultural, ethnic background. There's no real way to sort of identify them in that sense.
No.
You know, what we're looking at really is just trying to understand that type of behaviour, and also to ensure that there's proper intervention put in place for when somebody is identified as a stalker.
Please continue.
I was just going to say, so we've set up this project, which is a multi-agency intervention programme, and that really looks at trying to identify stalkers and intervene with that fixation and obsession for that reason.
For somebody that is a victim of stalking, what effect does it have on them?
So the way that we kind of explain it is that stalking is, it's a crime of psychological terror. You know, we are talking about really insidious, repetitive behaviours. Some of our cases span decades. And it's really enormous, the impact that it can have on people. We found that through a health report that we did a couple of years ago, out of the respondents, about 78% actually met the clinical criteria for PTSD. However, only about 24% of those were actually diagnosed by a mental health practitioner. Mm-hmm. So we find that the impact is really big, but it's not really being recognized still. And that is something that we're also just a little bit concerned about. But, you know, it can have, you know, very sort of different types of effects and impacts on different people. So we see people experiencing sleeping disorders, eating disorders, anxiety, depression, self-harm, and, you know, in the worst cases, suicide.
Also, they live in fear of that next letter, that next phone call, that next personal visit, or when they see that person following them, either on foot or in a vehicle, or however that person's being stalked. So you're sleeping with one eye open, aren't you, really?
Absolutely. I mean, it is really constant. And if you speak to some of our victims, you know, you realise that every aspect of their life has been impacted by this behaviour. You know, people, you know, learn not to open their curtains at night. They keep their lights on so people can't look through the window. They, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and you really get impacted by a sense of constant hypervigilance because you're always, as you say, waiting for that next incident to happen. And something that we've been really concerned about as well is this rise in online behaviours, especially since COVID. And you can imagine, you know, if you're stuck in your four walls during a lockdown and the perpetrator inevitably knows where you are at all times because you are at home. And that can be, you know, that can be really, really terrifying. And so a lot of the behaviors have now also moved online. So we've seen a rise in spyware, in hacking. We've seen a rise in tracking devices that, say, for example, could get dropped into a victim's handbag and they might sort of just not be aware of it. We're trying to work also on really sort of raising awareness around these harms as well.
Now, there is support available by way of the Susie Lamplugh Trust, and there's also the National Stalking Helpline. Tell me about that.
So the National Stalking Helpline has supported around 45,000 victims to date now. So we've been going for about a decade. We offer a whole range of advice and support. So, you know, if you think you are a victim of stalking, you absolutely do not need to disclose your name. You don't need to follow through with a criminal investigation. You don't have to charge the perpetrator if you don't want to. I think the main thing to just remember is it's really good to be able to have that option of having advice around what to do, just in case. And we do, you know, we offer advice over the phone, over email, and we also have this thing called an Am I Being Stalked tool, which is quite helpful for people that just want to sort of find out if they are definitely being stalked and they might not be quite sure. And it's a kind of question and answer online tool. And at the end of it, it'll confirm, you know, whether it is that you are experiencing stalking or not, and it'll signpost you to local services. But you can contact us via phone during the week. Our number is 0808 802 0300, and we also have a London specific service for victims in the capital who can also contact us on that line.
What should be our first step that we take if we think that we're being stalked? How do we know that we're being stalked? You know, are there any immediate telltale signs?
Yeah, I mean, the thing to really think about is the behaviour unwanted and is it repetitive? Have you said no and that behaviour continues? You know, that's really what we're looking at here. And if you're not sure, then, like I said, contact a specialist stalking service, because it's really important that early intervention takes place in these cases so that it doesn't escalate.
Remind me of the four acronym again. I think that's really good.
Yeah, so it's FOUR, fixated, obsessive, unwanted and repetitive. That would be a stalking case.
And we can find more information out on your website. Just give us your website address, Violet.
You absolutely can. So you can visit us at www.susielamplugh.org.
Lovely, that's susielampeloup.org. And a quick reminder of that phone number again as well, please.
So you can contact the National Stalking Helpline on 0808 802 0300.
Violet Alvarez, a Senior Policy and Campaigns Officer with the Susie Lamploo Trust, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive.
Thank you.
That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.